All right, let me confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am.
Perfecto. We are set and ready to roll for our MediaBids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for ad sales leaders and teams and those of you selling media space, whether it's in print, on your website, in your e-newsletter, whether you work for a newspaper, a magazine, a niche publication, whether it is free, whether it's controlled CERC, whether it's paid CERC. We help those of you that are selling ad space in a wide variety of mediums and media, and we're glad that you are here. As we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you to close your office door, turn off anything electronic or anything that would distract you as we're kind of rolling through, and really be able to focus on what we're going to be sharing. It's not an accident that we don't put something on the screen, which would simply create many-tasking or multitasking. The more present you are, the more you're listening, the more you're making notes, the more we're transferring and infusing the knowledge, the coach and coaching approach, which matches the very best in adult education and learning. Plus, we'll also field your questions live during the course of our MediaBids Power Hour. We're here for you, so simply send an email to the confirmation that brought you here, or earnest@powerhour.com, and we keep it very simple for you. We always love to work with Jed and his team at MediaBids. And Jed, I always appreciate some opening words about new news, things cooking at MediaBids. What's going on in your world, and as you look across the landscape as we go into 2017?
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks, Ernest. You know, thanks to Ernest and everyone at Power Hour. We really appreciate all of the work that they do and knowledge that they bring to these teleseminars. We are greatly indebted to them. Without them, these would be far less enjoyable and educational. So we really appreciate Ernest's continued involvement and the amount of knowledge that he shares. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We have been around for 18 years, and we are devoted to driving revenue to publications. What differentiates us from just about anyone else is that we are focused on response. So whether it's in paid ads or in for response-based ads, we track the results of everything, of every ad that we place, and we like to see how print publications are doing because it gives us a lot more to talk about with advertisers. You know, in 2017, I think the trend will continue of advertisers wanting sort of tangible results for their advertising dollars, and so what we try to do is to drive advertisers who have long ago abandoned print back into print by showing them the results that they're generating, primarily through phone numbers, sometimes through URLs and other ways of capturing that data, but the end result is the same. So that's really what we're focused on, and we'll continue to be focused on in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And for those of you that have worked with Jed and their team, you know the revenue and the ad visibility and the wide array of advertisers that they bring. For those of you that have not had an opportunity, go to MediaBids.com, speak to Jed and his team. Lots to learn, amazing insight for the kind of ad results, ad revenue, selection of ads that are available. It is a powerful opportunity for you. So, Jed, thank you so much. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986, launching three of my own publications. I was a leader at a billion-dollar media group, and we launched Power Hour in 1995. We've now coached and guided more than 2,500 ad sales companies, their ad sales teams, in 13 time zones around the world. In the last 22 2 years, it's just been a jet. It's been wonderful working together with so many of you. And, of course, we love to say the hotter the kitchen, the more we love to be in it. That simply is our visual way of, hey, when you've got big opportunities or big challenges on the other side, that's what we want most. Those who work with us want either more of something or less of something. The status quo is no longer acceptable. In addition, one of our flagship areas that we work, we host a live weekly Advertising Sales Academy. We work on 20 areas of media kit presentations. We have 21 negotiating skills we work around, another 32 ad sales skills to work on and master. Every single Tuesday we meet, come into our website, powerhour.com, and you can learn more about that. So today, Jed, we said we were going to talk about 2017, will it be our best ad sales year ever? Sort of leaning into this new year and imagining the opportunities, there's four key areas that we said we're going to include. And what we asked those who joined here today to share with us is some of the things that you're proud of in 2016. And this is really the way we've started every single January. We say to our current ad sales teams and clients and companies and media groups, hey, what happened in 2016 that you're proud of? And we always start with that because it helps to trigger what is it we're focused on going into the new year. And we had a wide array of those of you talking about pleased with your ad sales, pleased with your distribution, your circulation on that side. A number of you commented about your editorial and the progress on that in that space. Some of you commented, I really liked, Jed, they talked about their team tenure, their team success, and the work on the team side. Some also commented about their new hires, and then also the traction related to competitors. And that tends to be a reoccurring theme every January. There are various areas that we work on. But some of the pieces about tenure was very interesting, the fact that those who are joining us made a reference to the fact that they hadn't lost people, that they felt like they were building their team momentum. And there really is something to be said for tenure because it takes time, right, to ramp up a salesperson to kind of get them to where they're really knowledgeable, really comfortable. Then they move to really confident, and then they move to the place that every meeting is what? An opportunity to drive sales, drive revenue, and we don't take no's and we don't get no's because our presentations are at the top tier. When we lose somebody, we have to start all over again, and it's not an immediate microwave process. Jed, would you agree with that, just from the tenure side of the house, that that's really such an important area to focus on as we go forward?
It is. I mean, I think that you know, obviously tenure is critical. You know, I also think that that sometimes change yields opportunities that you didn't know existed. So I think you know, obviously tenure is preferable, right? You want to keep the people that are doing good work for you. But I think sometimes losing you know, sometimes there's a silver lining to turnover as well. So I don't know that it's sort of all good or all bad in one direction.
Mm-hmm. You know, you raise an interesting point. Andy Grove, CEO of Intel, once said in his book, at the top 10%, I want 100% retention. Bottom 10%, I want a 100% turnover. And that was mirroring exactly, Jed, what you just said, right? Our best, we want to keep and continue, and those who are not performing, those in the middle is where the greatest coaching is, because they're the ones that we're hoping to move to the top 10% or 20% within our team and within our company. And those who are simply not performing, not willing to do the work, not willing to accept the coaching, the guidance, the training, then yes, it does make sense that they are not going to be part of the team any longer, no doubt. So for
it's also interesting, and especially when it comes to sales, right? You know, because if you're dealing specifically with sales, it seems like you know, it always used to amaze me. I mean, one thing I didn't mention in my fantastic opening monologue there was that I used to run a chain of newspapers, and And it always surprised me, you know, you have salespeople who you consider to be just the foundations of your sales efforts, and they do a good job and everything's great, and then they leave for reasons that might be outside of your control, and the new person comes in, and lo and behold, they're getting ads from businesses that the salesperson who left, you know, never could. I think that there's oftentimes opportunity. I mean, it's uncomfortable and it's painful, right? Because you have to go through a training process, but it's not without its rewards. I have a feeling that sales might be true more in sales than it is in almost anything else.
You are right, and Jed, we've been around long enough to know that in the early days of ad sales, I can remember interviewing those who worked for newspapers, and I would say, what does a typical day look like? And they'd say, well, I get to the office, I get my coffee, and the phone starts to ring, you know? Or right. I think of those who sell yellow pages and directories in the early days. Are you kidding? People chase me down the parking lot, you know, throwing their checks at me because they don't want to miss the ad deadline. You know, I think we can agree that we're in a different state and stage related to media because there are, what, so many choices. You know, it's... there's a whole lot more choices than when we first began around the media space. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's no denying that.
So we want to say to all of you that, yes, we work harder in 2016, and we will in 2017, but those who work smarter and smartly will have the most information. Think about yourself bringing the calm to the chaos, and in many, many ways there is chaos. It is not nearly as organized. There are an infinite number of choices, and we have to be more and more crisp. I think, for example, realtors. You know, in the old days, you could simply sell them a couple of ads in the newspaper. They put out their signs, and then in more recent decades, they would go into a real estate related magazine. That was about it. And those real estate magazines would be hundreds and hundreds of pages thick. The newspaper would have, my gosh, I remember one point there were 24 pages of classified ads in the Dallas newspaper. 24 pages of classified ads. Imagine that, right? Driving more than 50% of their revenue and profitability. And today it's, well, my gosh, nearly nothing from that perspective. So the bottom line is that, you know, 2017, we want to lean in, which kind of takes us down. Let's see. We did have a question. Let's field one of the questions that came in. Sybil in Illinois says, what ideas are out there for ad dollars emphasizing aging baby boomers? Jed, some of the advertising work, maybe you'd like to comment on this one first. I'd also love to jump in on this one. But ads for aging baby boomers, you have quite an array of ads that do fit that and some insight related to that, yes?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a big part of what we do now is focused on, you know, what we sort of loosely call seniors, and I know that probably doesn't align exactly with baby boomers, but, you know, more or less. You know, I mean, there's many great things about that because first of all, this is a group that is relying on print in the same way that they did throughout their whole lives. So print for many of them is still their primary method of getting news. The second great thing about this group is that they tend to purchase. They tend to have the ability to purchase. So the close rates tend to be higher. They are also, we find, phone-based people. So a lot of the transactions that occur for us, for senior related products are sales that are generated by the phone. They like to be able to call up and find out more information or to talk to people. And one of the things we do, and this is with this is with permission. It's, there's nothing dicey about this, but we listen to phone calls that consumers make to some of our advertisers, and it's really shocking how extensive the questioning can oftentimes be. You know, people really do their homework in this age group, and so, you know, so we've done well with businesses like Acorn Stairlifts, which is focused on this group, and A Place for Mom, which is ironically focused on this group because it tends to, they tend to be the people who are looking for retirement communities for their parents. So someone who's 65 to 70 is looking for a home for a parent who's in their upper 80s or even 90s. So it's a great area to focus on, and there are an enormous number of companies that are out there, and they tend to do poorly on the internet. So they're a great group to really focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the other piece about the baby boomers and the 50 and 60 plus, the demographics that are skewered towards them. And we'll talk a little bit about this in the third part of our meeting today, Sybil, but there's a lot of current information that speaks to and about that audience, and your media kit has to include it. If you don't, then you're going to be challenged to field the kind of either objections or the selling opportunities on the other side. So we'll come back to that, Sybil. It's an excellent question. Yep, Chet.
Unless you have a publication in, and I'm going to make a gross exaggeration here of Austin, Texas, or San Francisco, or maybe like Boulder, Colorado. I mean, these are your readers. they are. This is the group that is, that is primarily consuming print publications. That's good and bad. They're a great group in terms of buying power, and sort of the specific, their specific needs.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So we'll come back to that, and stay tuned, because next month when Jed talks about the stats, the data, the trends, the things that they see and know related to ad results and the value of that kind of audience and the value and impact of print versus digital, he has lots to share. So just a little appetizer for what's coming next month. stay tuned. Let's talk about point number two. We said we'd talk about SWOT. SWOT, Jed, was something that I was first introduced in my media days about 30 years ago. And the VP of marketing, her name was Pat, and Pat walked us through SWOT. It was fascinating. I remember like it was yesterday. She had the big board, and we're all in the room, and we're starting to roll through, and I was like, well, what's SWOT? So SWOT is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So sort of think about a plus sign with four quadrants, and take any aspect of your business and take it through the SWOT filter. It was sort of a way of looking at sort of our situation related to some aspect of our business. For example, take the topic called renewals. So in the strength box, you could say renewals equals, and you could say relatively pause, meaning we're renewing 90% or more. Great. The weakness is I'm obviously making this up. The weakness is those who are not renewing tend to be our biggest advertisers, okay? Or the opportunity is that upon the renewal, we're not doing any upselling. Or the threat is that we've got some pretty big renewals in the next 90 days that might be contentious or difficult. So you take just a single word like renewals, and it can fall into one quadrant, two, three, or actually all four. And as you look at this, it gives you sort of this nice way to say, so renewals, single word, what is there a threat? Is there an opportunity? Is there a weakness? And just by the asking of those questions and putting it into one of those four quadrants or more gives us an opportunity to see that aspect of our business. Take, for example, our distribution. We might have, for example, one of our strengths is that we have free distribution, for example, in grocery stores. The weakness is that we might only be in one of three chains. The opportunity could be that we could do what? If priced correctly, expand into the second and third, but the threat might be that the first chain that we're in, the rates for those racks or those pocket rentals might be going up. So you see, taking something as small as distribution, and in this case, free in grocery stores, lets us parlay that across these different categories. Now, early in the month of January, for all of our clients, plus all of those who attend our Tuesday Sales Academy, we did this in the first week of January. Every single one of our clients did it, and then we brought them all in, and we talked about them on that Tuesday to walk through. The one key piece is, what does your SWOT analysis show in each area of your business? Some of our clients built one and then populated the four categories. Others built a SWOT analysis for each area of their biz. They built one about their team. They built one for renewals. They built one for their distribution or circulation if they're on the paid side. Some built it for editorial, okay? Some built it for competitors. Some did it competitor by competitor. So there's a whole host of ways that you can utilize this and deploy this from that perspective, because it also is intended to give you a focus as you go into the new year. As you use it on a monthly and quarterly basis, it's there for you. One also comment about SWOT analysis, and that is categories that fall or points that fall in the threats, we want those removed as quickly as possible. We do not want that exposure. For example, if it's about renewals and it's about the next 90 days, well, what are we doing today to move those forward? Not waiting for the last 30 days on that ad renewal, but what are we doing today, 90 days out, for example, are some of the questions that we begin to ask about things that fall into threats. The last part about SWOT analysis is that once you put all the categories up, then you begin to overlay action steps. Who's going to do what, about what topic, and by when? All right. And many of our clients sent us, Jed, pictures of their conference room with literally 5 or 7 or 10 or more SWOT analysis up in their conference room as they went by topic, by topic, by topic, and then they assigned it to a person on the team, and then they put a date next to it, and that became a place for each of their weekly meetings of both accountability and updates and progress, and it's used throughout the course of the year. So we talk about it in our academies and with our clients every January, Jed, but it's used really as a living document and tool over the course of the months, over the course of the year. Jed, your comments or observations about SWOT analysis and or the threats that we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the threats are, I think that the publications focus on the threats more than the opportunities very often. I think the threats are in your face every day because of how publications sell ads. There's so much rejection involved in even a good day. So I think the threats are sort of can sometimes be overblown. But I think that in my mind, the biggest threat facing publications is loss of advertising revenue, and the loss of advertising revenue, again, from my perspective, is due in large part to advertisers being risk adverse, and the more risk adverse an advertiser is, the less likely they are to buy print ads conventionally, because there's an awful lot of risk. So, and that leads them in other directions. There's very few people out there very few companies out there who spend a lot of money on advertising who will come back and say our advertising is terrible and it doesn't work and we're not getting sales from it and and we need to change everything. Usually they are pretty good at justifying it. So it requires data to sort of change their mind. And so, the opportunity that we see here at MediaBids, and I think it also exists for publications, individual publications, is that, by gathering data and showing advertisers the opportunity, that exists in print, there is you know, you can generate revenue from that. You can sell more ads because by showing the data, you're able to compete with the threats that are that are diverting the revenue away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And that is a valid point related to that. And we have a question here that I wanted to tuck in. Dan asks us, also in Illinois, what is the best source or method for conducting a SWOT analysis? So we're hoping that this is helpful to give you the guidelines. But the second part of it was for an individual. And the answer is, Dan, yes, you can use a SWOT analysis as an individual, meaning as part of your ad sales team. Individuals on the team can do their own. A sales manager can do one for themselves as they look at the overall landscape and their team, and also company-wide. So it really does work as an individual, which is the second part of your question, and also it works wonderfully from a team perspective. So we encourage both, because you do your question is perfect, because you pause and say, yeah, but if I'm just running my own turf and my own client base, there really are strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats even within my own account base and prospects, and the answer is yes. And in many cases, sales managers or the owners of media companies will have individuals do it and then roll that up to the larger corporate ones. So again, what a great question, and thank you, Dan, for asking us that. So let's talk about the third of the 4 points we promised to cover here today, Jed, and we said that, you know, sort of planning for 2017, what are the 12 most important areas to work on? What we measure will make the greatest impact, okay? So we're going to work our way through, and as you're listening to Jed and myself, we'll continue to field your questions. Just simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here. And then as a follow-up for those of you that listen offline after we wrap up, just send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, and we'd be more than happy, Jed, myself, to certainly field any of your questions. So let's work our way through. Number one, your presentation, the confidence you have in your presentation, the quality of your presentation. We see media kits of all kinds around the world. Rarely are we wowed. Okay, we believe that there's 20 significant areas that have to go into a media kit and into a presentation in order for it to pop. For those of you that have worked with us in our Tuesday Academy or on the private side, you know it's one of the first orders of biz. Your presentation has to be spot on. I'm going to share one of the pieces that we added, Jed, this past year. This is a newer area in media kits that we that came as a result of our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy. We're interacting with the group, and we did an entire week of focusing on the current news that we need to stay on top of related to social media. And it began like this. We're having this conversation, and we're talking about Facebook. And we're talking about the impact. And, you know, where advertisers would say, hey, listen, I'm out doing my own social media. Why am I buying an ad? And I said, wow. I said, you know, in the middle of our academy, I said, wow, are we all clear? Like, what's changed at Facebook? Does anybody know what I mean by the word throttle related to Facebook? And, you know, and there was this pause, and I said, throttle means that, you know, the stuff that's getting posted in Facebook, specifically by companies and businesses, is not making it into the news feed. And there was this pause, and I said, but hang on, gang, it's not us talking about it. You can't say that to an ad agency or a media buyer or a decision maker. You've got to show them something. I said, hang on for a sec. Let me pull something up. So I pull up a couple of articles, and I send them the URLs. And I'm like, okay, now, these are the URLs. Number one, you have to understand this, and this is just one aspect. We talked about Twitter. We talked about blogging. We talked about search engine. We talked about pay-per-click, but just specifically related to the Facebook throttling, which, by the way, is news that goes back, about 3 years ago. I said, gang, you've got to know this, and you've got to be able to lean into a presentation, lower your voice, and say to a buyer, were you aware of this? What's changed? And then you have to be able to support it. And they said to me, Warnus, would I put article after article in my media? I said, no. You just excerpt out the quote of what it is. Maybe it's a sentence or two from the full article. You've got the entire URL as a backup, and you bring that in. And so that piece all by itself, Jed, has had an amazingly positive impact. When we get to that part in the presentation, it's sort of that, did you know that the world of do-it-yourself out there has gotten a whole lot tougher, a whole lot less impactful, a whole lot more difficult, and you're simply just not getting the results. Hence the reason why my media solution is that much more impactful. Jed, your comments or observations about this piece?
Yeah, I think you know, I would take it a step further and say that, you know, sure, it's 100% true that companies like Facebook, companies like Google, you know, have become less impactful and less effective for many advertisers. But you still have to put yourself in the shoes of the advertiser when you're talking about it, and that is that, you know, if you have a really cool dashboard and you can see exactly how many people saw your ad and how many people clicked on it, it feels really good. It feels like you're getting somewhere with your marketing dollars, right? And so it's your job and my job to educate these people and to explain to them that you know, along the lines of what Ernest, you know, just described, you know, there are you have to take the analysis beyond sort of the top level, which is rarely, you know, a place where most companies go, even big sophisticated companies. You know, they look at it and they say, you know, wow, look at this. Look at all these sales we made. Look at all the, you know, look at all these clicks we got. Look at all these views we got. But they're rarely sort of, you know, doing the multiplication required to get to a point where you say, you know, it cost us $400 to get a, you know, $200 sale. And that's where the opportunity really lies, is to take the information that people have and take it a step further, because print can compete with it. That's the great part of the message, is that print can win that battle, but you can't win the battle if you don't have the data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, I keep sidetracking you, Ernest. I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. We're going to talk about the data. It's one of our 12 points, so no doubt. So that piece is key. Number two, the importance of bundling your print and digital strategies. We've talked about that for more than a decade. Certainly vitally important. Number three, your side-by-side media comparisons give you the vital tools that you, as you go into this year, as you're thinking about areas to focus on, media comparisons, your cost per thousand, being able to explain the strengths and weaknesses of your media solutions versus your specific competitors. Number four, ad drop reports. We've done entire MediaBid Power Hour programs on this. The importance of that, though, continues to circle back around. I was working with a client just in the last week or so, and we were talking about the importance of ad drop reports and how they're using it to track ads going up, ads going down, ads going out, ads coming in, and then kicking it right out to the sales reps and the things that we're learning about what's going on. It is vitally important. It is impossible to compete and know what's happening with competitors without having an ad drop report. Jed, in my own corporate days, I had one 30 years ago, never sold without a media comparison, never sold without ad drop. So for all of you in 2017, these are strategies that are so tried and true, and they're so vitally important. If I had a magazine or publication or newspaper in my right hand, in my left hand would be my media kit with my media comparison and my ad drop. It's mandatory in order to go out into the marketplace. Okay, so point number four. Point number five, business development. The world of ad selling and sales, the best visual Jed I have is like a shark that must swim to feed to survive. It must continue to. And the same rules apply with us. Never be complacent. Never be happy with the status quo. There are 27 specific business development strategies that we work and focus on Tuesdays related to ad sales success, some that are very much in the sweet spot of media sales and then some that are very proprietary to our work and experience over the years here at Power Hour. So most importantly, never be complacent and never believe that, hey, I'm locked and loaded, I got everything in place and everything's rolling along, because as soon as you feel that, the eggs get scrambled again. Decision makers move around. Media decisions change. Economic engines look at what's been going on more recently related to healthcare, the pharma sector, airlines, automotive. Holy smokes, Jed, every single day we wake up and we don't know which sector or segment is going up or down. Welcome to 2017. We cannot be complacent from that perspective. And number six, and then I'll pause, Jed, if you'd like to comment on any of these. Number six is the ongoing need for team coaching and the fielding of the objections that roll along. Your price is too high. Your readers aren't engaged. I do it myself. I'm with your competitor. Your ads don't pull. We could go on and on and on. What's important here is that every single week, you go grab one or two of those, and you practice and you role play. It's absolutely required in the world of ad sales and selling sales, and it is key to your success to be able to field an objection like, today is Thursday, tomorrow the sun comes up, it is Friday. If you can handle objections like that, then you're in a good and great place. Chet, any comments on the first six before we cover the back six that we promised to talk about here today?
No, I think that they're all, you know, great suggestions. I think that role playing and sharing objections is critical in any kind of sales and makes an enormous difference. I think that the SWOT, you know, the SWOT analysis is a great idea, and I made a note to myself that it's something we should start doing. So, So I think they're great suggestions.
Perfect. Let me start in with number 7 because I'm going to watch your blood pressure rise. Tracking of ad results.
Yeah.
Jed, the floor is yours.
Listen, I've touched on it. I mean, this is kind of like my contract. I'm contractually obligated in all of these sales seminars to give this speech. And I just feel really strongly that that print has done itself an enormous disservice by essentially excusing itself from the conversation about how an ad does. We buy thousands of ads. We talk to lots and lots of publications every day, and very often, if we say to a publication, "Hey, that ad didn't do well," their response is something along the lines of, "That's too bad." And that kind of response doesn't, while it's fair, and while what we paid for is space and not results, we understand that. That type of response is not adequate in 2017. I don't think it was adequate last year, and I definitely don't think it's adequate this year. It is the job of publications, like it or not, to get results for advertisers. That more than anything, that is more important than anything, right? If you can get results for your advertisers, if people respond to the ads, then you will have a much, much easier time with anything else that you do in a sales, in your sales efforts. The trick to getting response for advertising, though, is to understand what the response is, and the only way to do that is to track the results. So we track the results of, in 2017, it was somewhere, it was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 700,000 ads that we tracked the results of. It might have been more. I'll have that number for the next teleseminar. But it's easy. What you do is, what we do is we use a unique phone number or a unique URL. Or you can use text codes, or you can use, QR codes. I mean, you can use lots of things, but you want something where you can go back to the advertiser and say, this is what your ad generated. We've said it in probably every teleseminar we've ever had, you can't count on the advertiser to come up with those results. We deal with big national companies, and very often they're clueless about the results that are generated. So you've got to present the results to them. You have to say, hey, good news. You generated, your ads in our publications generated 1,000 phone calls last month. you know, in the case of a single publication, it might be something as small as, you know, your ad generated 4 phone calls last month. That's okay, right? Because at least with that information, you can then kind of extrapolate what the ad was worth. You know, someone who's selling a product, someone who's selling mattresses, who has a high margin, who gets 4 phone calls, you know, that ad is probably worth hundreds of dollars to them, right? It leads to further conversation, but most importantly, it allows you to compete with every other advertising medium that's out there, especially on the internet, that is essentially in the business of delivering results and not delivering space. If publications can shift to delivering results and not to delivering space, they will benefit. Is sort of, you know, my take on the world.
And when you hear Jed's passion for and about this, it is consistent for at least the last decade or more. We do not come in and out of one of these media power hours without talking about it.
It's a lot of fun to hang around with.
I love the way you speak about it, because quite honestly, the very essence of what's happened on the digital side is the Googles of the world, the pay-per-click ads of the world, the online advertising basically took our biz because they tracked it. And then we woke up and said, wait a minute, we should be tracking as well. So enough said. We're going to talk more about that next month and subsequently in 2017. But if you don't know the number of calls, the length of calls, the number of calls tied to the ad sizes, ad placements, I mean, there's a wealth of information on that, and we passionately encourage you. The tracking of phone calls, the tracking of clicks, the tracking of forms that are filled out, all of those things sync up beautifully, and they therefore give you the confidence to do what? Take on renewals with confidence and take on new sales as well with equal confidence. Number 8,
and just to add really quickly to that,
please.
If it's too much to bite off to try to do all your advertisers, try doing it with one, right? Try doing it with one or two, and I challenge you to do it with one or two, because I think a light will go off for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Anyway. Go ahead.
Perfect. All right. Number 8, associations, your professional associations, the associations you belong to. For those of you that sell ads into the RV space, you have RV associations, or you have your board of realtors if you sell ads into realtors, automotive, name the category, they all have their own professional associations, and we've all paid our $20 and gone to the rubber chicken lunches. Our words, as you go into the 2017, that is not the way to allocate your time. It is what's most key is the way you make it more meaningful and significant. And there's at least 3 opportunities. We go into greater depth during our Tuesday academies about associations, but the 3 most important ones that we do is we join committees where our best advertisers are and prospective advertisers. So if Jed and I were looking at 6 committees, with the Board of Realtors in Boston, Jed says, look, you know, I'll grab this one over here because Mark, Mary, and Bill are best advertisers, and they're in that committee, and I'll go, great, and I'll grab this one over here because Rita, Ralph, and Robert are part of this one. They're our best prospects. You divide and conquer. Associations are incredibly helpful for that. Number 2, speak. Speak at the front of the room, endorsed by your associations. Go look at the calendar for 2017. Get on that calendar. Be a keynote. Be on a panel, okay? Even if you're not the best speaker, maybe somebody on your team is, okay? Incredible opportunity in reverse. If you've ever sat in the chair watching your competitors at the front of the room getting those endorsements, you know how chapped that feels on the other side, and there's really a step-by-step-by-step process to ensure that you're at the front of the room. But most importantly for 2017, that's the part. Number 3, write for their blogs, their newsletters, write for their magazines. Be a voice of authority. Point number 8. Point number 9, lead sharing groups. Lead sharing groups is another one of those proprietary marketing opportunities. When you stop and look at, when you show up at a trade show for one of your associations and you see all the other people that are displaying products and services in that sector that they may be selling to, let's use the case of RV dealers, or let's use the case of realtors, just simple, easy, and you look up and down all those aisles, those people have the same Rolodex as you do. They have exactly the same focus, but they're not your competitors. Lead sharing groups is one of our signature proprietary ways that we help ad sales teams win, which relates to number 10. We also build alliances with these other vendors and suppliers. And from those alliances, we go out and we make shared introductions. We co-market webinars or teleseminars like we're doing here. We co-market and brand in-person events, and we make direct introductions that lead directly to revenue. Alliance is a vital, important part. Number 11, 2017, nothing changes with our distribution and circulation, certainly in our traditional print and our visibility. If it's controlled circ and the quality of who gets what, if it's paid circ, if it's free, doesn't matter on that side, but let's remember that we also have what? The digital circulation, which also ties to alliances in the prior point, okay? Where are we creating those digital alliances? And then the other pieces, as a subset to that, our search engine optimization and our visibility electronically. Number 12, not all of you have an editorial component. Many of you do that are part of our teleseminar today. The editorial piece, what is it that in 2017 sets you apart from your competitors? Is it the size of your editorial team? Is it the quality? Is it the freshness? Is it a reduction in editorial because you're squeezing profitability? Okay, what is it you're doing in the editorial space that will be vital to your success 12 months from today that you'll look back and say, I'm proud of what we did with our editorial or not from that perspective. And then one bonus point, number 13, we are passionate believers in our e-newsletters. Those that go out to readers is version A. Version B is the newsletter that goes out to advertisers and prospective advertisers. Version B is not done enough with media teams. So as you look at 2016, ask yourself, did you put out two versions? Did they go out minimum once a month? 2017, are in fact two versions going out, and are they going out, our challenge for you, every 3 weeks? That's 18 versions rather than 12, which is a 50% improvement in your branding and your visibility. So there's lots cooking here as you look at 2017 and what matters most and what will help drive your visibility, your thought leadership, and you really being positioned as the go-to source in your space. Now, Jed, as you think about points number 7 through 13, I know we talked about tracking, but anything else to add?
Did I mention tracking? I can't remember.
No, there's so much more to cover. Please, continue.
I'm kidding. No, these are great ideas. I mean, you know, I think that associations are you know, Ernest has done whole teleseminars on associations, and I welcome you to go back and listen to them. But there's a huge amount of opportunity, and really, you know, it kind of goes to, you know, in some ways it really does kind of tie into the results aspect of what I was talking about earlier. And that is that, you know, the more you understand about a business, right, the more you understand sort of what the industry standards are, what the margins are, what the expectations are, what the sales cycle is like, what kinds of people make the best customers, what products they're really trying to sell. So for these types of for businesses that are, you know, above, you know, sort of maybe more complex than like the average restaurant, for example, these are all things that as a publication person you may not understand. The five responses that you get for an RV dealer might seem terrible when you compare it to the local flower shop, but those five responses, once you understand more about the RV business, just to use that as an example, might in reality be worth an enormous amount of money. So the more you understand these things, and the more you sort of immerse yourself in them, I think it ultimately only benefits your ability to sell.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And related to point number 3, we have Vicky from Queensland who asked, how can I add more value for my clients to entice them to see that print is a great medium for them? Okay, and so when we talk about adding more value, Part of that, Vicki, starts with the compelling story of what it is you bring. Secondly, why your readers are engaged and how you measure that. I also like to include in that any stats or stories about buying power, or as Jed was talking about, you know, there is something different between an RV dealer and a flower shop, right? And one of the biggest pieces beyond the obvious, the cost, is the difference in the time lag. We were also talking about the 50-plus early with Sybil's question. I mean, my gosh, families can be navigating around senior housing choices for years, and there's a lot of S's at the end of that, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. So an ad that they read today, a site visit they might do next month, could sit out there as a question mark with moms or dads as they're aging for years and years. So did the ad deliver? Did the ad make an impression? So you have to really step into what is the value you bring, what is the buying cycle for those advertisers, and then your thought leadership. Your thought leadership is conveyed in the way that you drive your newsletters for your space and sector, the way you speak at association events, the alliance relationships that you provide, what you know about your distribution and CERC, how closely you're watching the ad drop report of competitors to be able to know that they've had 17 pages that have dropped in the last quarter. Those are the kinds of things that not only add value, Vicki, but give you more a more valuable footprint in the marketplace, and it absolutely matters from that perspective. So thank you, Vicki.
And I would just add to that, you it's tough to know how to add value until you know what the value is, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way to know what the value is to track it, you know, and to see exactly what's being produced, because the same advertiser that's telling you that the ad that they're buying from you is not worth anything, that same advertiser almost assuredly has absolutely no idea if that's true or not. They just know that they don't know, and if they don't know, they assume it's not working.
And what you're hearing from Jed is the Saturday Night Live skit that says, I need a little more cowbell. What you're hearing is he wants you to track. We got a little more. I got a fever for some cowbell. I love this, Jed. You are spot on. And as all of you are listening to Vicki, please hear his words, because he is speaking with his heart about media ad success. And that's the essence of what we do here every single month, is we ring a little cowbell. Let's cover the last point, the first 100 days of 2017. And this really is an emphasis on, don't just come out of the gate and just sort of pause and say, gee, I look at all the wonderful resolutions I'm going to do in January, return the calendar in February, and you wonder what happened, right? So we have a couple of points here. Number one, you have to have a plan, and you have to work that plan, and you have to be specific by topic, by date, and who's going to work on it. That's back to the SWOT analysis. But most importantly, every 30 days, you have to lean in and be honest. Give yourself a grade. Take, for example, the business development strategies. When we work on those in our Tuesday Academy, 27 of them. Some of our clients do it in the cloud. Some of them do it on their server. Some of them do it on their spreadsheet. Some of them take all 27 strategies and put them up on the wall. Tomato, tomato, doesn't matter to me. But what I say is, at the end of January, grade yourself. How many of those did you actually take a step towards? How many of those were C+? How many were A-?
Do you recommend sales teams setting a monetary target?
Both monetary and even in a smaller step for some of our largest prospects. Even the fact that you had an opportunity to meet one of your largest ad agencies or one of your largest buyers, even if it didn't get to a presentation, you still got an A for doing what? For leaning in and warming that relationship. So, yes, the easy part is the money part, but we've learned with some of the biggest agencies, decision makers, and ad types, we may have to nurture that relationships over weeks or months or years until we actually bring them on board. Hopefully it's not in the years category, but you get what I'm saying, that we try to take credit for the effort in conjunction with the ad sales results. When I was working for my early corporate days, I was trained by Xerox, and Xerox had a little sentence that grew their multi-gabillion dollar company. It said, measure the activity, the results will follow. And those words just kind of burned in my ears. Measure the activity. Reward your sales team. Keep score for the incremental, because it's kind of like the Berlin Wall. Tap, 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 it'll never fall. Tap, 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 are you kidding me? Tap, 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 there's a crack. Tap, it fell. Fell, past tense, right? And so often, you know, what we don't know is you're calling on an ad agency, and today it might feel insurmountable. Tomorrow, new media buyer. Whoa. Or the next day, they lost a big account. And in fact, in part, might be because they weren't working with us from that perspective, or other factors. Maybe they lost two accounts and they're gun-shy. The point is that every single day we get an opportunity to move to a yes, and those incremental actions get us there. Does that make sense, Jed?
Yep. Yeah. That's,
yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And the biggest piece that we want to say about the first 100 days of this year is go back to the first 100 days of last year. Go back and ask yourself, what did we accomplish last year? What was the I wish that we really wanted, and did we deliver that? What is the I wish you most want this time next year? Because truly, we believe that you need to play big. All right. You know, here's an example of playing big. You pause and you go to association trade shows, and you look left and you look right, and your competitors are there. Some of our clients at our coaching and guidance have gone into the association and said, look, why don't we produce a program? Why don't we revenue share? Hey, but in exchange for the revenue share, we'd like to be the exclusive there. You pause and say, is that actually possible? Yes, it is. And competitors were removed from actual trade shows and events by one keystroke like that, okay? Those are examples of playing big. I was working with a company in the last couple of weeks, went on to tell me, wow, you know, in the free racks where I used to have competitors, two of my competitors moved out, stepped out and removed their space. And I was like, wow, that's like really big news. Get back out there with your camera, go take those pictures. That's really a big event, but you've got to let the advertisers know on the other side. Some of our clients this first 30 days, Jed, are going out doing market surveys. They're going out to their advertisers and gathering vital information, proprietary from advertisers, bringing it into a spreadsheet, doing the analysis, stripping the names of the companies out, but providing the data as part of their position themselves as thought leaders. And we've done this over the years with clients. Some that are doing it new don't know yet what's coming, but when we've worked with other media teams over prior years, it's incredibly valuable. Advertisers are eating out of the hands of our clients and the media, our media sales teams, and those who are not advertising are chomping because they're doing what? Not getting it. They don't get access to it unless they do what? Become advertisers. So these are the kinds of things that we believed in, the playing big, dreaming big, filling in the I wish. We in this media space have got to go big in order to be successful with our advertisers. And no doubt the tracking piece leading us into what we'll be doing again next month is part of that. We cannot skip over that. We cannot step around it. Jed, myself, we've been talking about that for a decade plus. And the element of tracking, the actual phone tracking you heard Jed talk about, been around for three decades, 30 years. There's nothing new here. That's how long it's been in place. A long, long time. Okay? So, Jed, as we come up on the top of the hour, how about some closing words for our group here, please?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for another interesting hour. As you can see, I usually have one thing to say. Ernest has lots of good ideas. But no, we appreciate all of you joining us, and thanks again to Ernest. And please check out his weekly Power Hour seminars, because they're equally as educational.
Well, thank you so much, Jed, but I always love, because as you know, we fly with no net as we roll, and I love the wealth of insight and data that you bring and the wealth of caring about those who are in the advertising space. So thank you. It's always a pleasure to each of you and all of you. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have specific topics that you would like us to cover, let us know. You inspire us. Every time we come together, we hope that three things are accomplished. One, we share new ideas with you. Two, that we confirm the things you're doing are mirroring best practices. And three, the serendipitous ideas. As you're listening to Jed and myself, Think about the other things that bubbled up or came up or the other thoughts that we jarred. Send us a note. Tell us about those things. Let us know what it is that you're thinking about as we go into this new year. We are here for you. You inspire us, and your questions help to push us into each and every year. So thank you so much to all of you. And, Jed, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ernest. Thanks, everyone.
Take care.